You're listening to Cross Currents from KLW News. I'm Hanat Baba. Earlier this month, the East African countries of Ethiopia and Eritrea signed a peace deal after decades of severed relations. The two nations fought a war in the 90s, after which all connection was cut off. No diplomatic ties, no trade, no transport, not even phone lines, despite a shared heritage and decades of intermarriage and close cultural ties. That's the sound of people celebrating aboard the first flight from Ethiopia to Eritrea in 20 years. The Bay Area has an estimated 12,000 Eritrean and slightly more Ethiopian residents, with large communities in cities like Oakland and San Jose. Many came as refugees decades ago, and there's a generation that grew up here or came as children. With their parents' generation on opposite sides of the divide, how do they relate to each other growing up together in the Bay Area, and how do they feel now? Robael Gizachu is External Affairs Director for the Horn of Africa Student Association at UC Berkeley. He's Ethiopian. He brought with him his two Eritrean friends, Damon Tekle and Shishai Sabatu, and we all sat down in our studios for a chat about family trauma and healing.
The main reason I ended up in Eritrea was because me and my family were actually deported. We were kicked out of Ethiopia when I was 4 years old with my other three siblings and my mom. I remember, this was very vivid in my eyes actually, that Meles, which is the prior prime minister for Ethiopia.
Zenawi.
Meles Zenawi, formally announcing on TV that all Eritreans are not welcome. And that, you know, led on to Eritreans being deported with trucks and vans and everything. I remember one night in 1998, they came in and just took my dad and deported him without us. And then a year after that is when me, my mom, and my other siblings followed. After I ended up in Eritrea as a four-year-old, I grew up there till I was like 16, 17, and then I had to migrate again to the United States.
And Damon, what about you? What's your family's story?
So my dad was a fighter, a soldier. He was in the war for about 8 years, and in the middle of it, he walked to Sudan or left Sudan. It's about like a 12-hour walk, or you know. And it was him and like a group of people, and he was one of the only people that made it through. There were people that died on their way there, and he stayed in about Sudan for a year. He first came to New York, was working there for a little bit. Then he came to California.
And what about you, Robel?
So my dad, he was a student. It was a communist regime in Ethiopia, 1970s, and it was just a lot of bloodshed, pretty much. And it was not much economic and political movement, I'd say, within the country. And so for that reason, my father and his friends decided not to stay at the school they're at, because they knew they'd eventually have to go. And so they ended up migrating around Europe, and then eventually got asylum in America.
So a lot of us come from countries where a lot is going on, right? And our parents and our grandparents had to deal with conflict, with struggle. So when you come here, you know, and then you start to build community, right? As a child here or as a teenager here, what were you hearing from your parents? What kind of stories were being told that maybe formed your ideas about, if you're Eritrean, about Ethiopians, or about, if you're Ethiopian, about Eritreans? Or was that not something they talked about in your house?
As an Ethiopian, what I noticed, because I've probably met a lot of Eritreans prior to high school, but when I started high school, when I like really met and like got to understand what Eritrea was and their war for liberation and all of that. But prior to that, other Ethiopians and I, we're not really taught about Eritrea. And I remember when I first met my first Eritrean friend, his name's Abdul, he told me he was Eritrean, and I had no idea what that meant. I was like, what is Eritrea? I was like, you look like me. I was like, I don't know what that is. It's crazy because it's literally right there. And there's so much war that happened between the two countries and so much history that it's sort of wild. I was never taught about Eritrea, I'd say, but yeah, definitely it was new to me when I started in high school. And so, yeah.
So you met your first Eritreans in the U.S.
In the U.S., yeah. Mm-hmm. And from there on, it was a great experience. Like, a majority of my friend group is Eritrean. Especially, I went to Berkeley High School. We have a lot of Ethiopians and Eritreans there. And it was a great dialogue going on between the both of us. I mean, we get heated sometimes about ideas that we've had for the two countries and things like that. But we had an Eritrean Ethiopian student union together. You find that a lot throughout college campuses, throughout just the diaspora in general, not just America, but usually like any country you go to, most college campuses do have one. We were just privileged with our high school having so many that we were able to have one in high school. So yeah, so that's when I kind of started understanding and like making Eritrean friends and understanding what it meant for them to be Eritrean.
What about you, Damon? As a grown up Eritrean, what did you have Ethiopian friends?
So growing up, living in San Francisco, I grew up around a lot of Eritreans. There were like very few Ethiopians, mm-hmm. but I did have an Ethiopian friend, and it felt normal. It almost felt like he was one of us, you know? Mm-hmm. And growing up, my parents, when it came to Ethiopians, they kind of just, my dad really instilled in my brain that, like, you know, it was almost his duty to let me know how we came up and what happened. So I think, and whenever it came to like Ethiopian people, they're always, you know, positive about it, but they just let me know, you know what I'm saying? Like, this is what happened, this is how it is, and this is why we are.
Mm-hmm. So, and yeah. And Shishai, what about you?
I mean, for me, it's...
Because you came here.
Yeah.
17 is pretty old.
Very recent, yeah.
Like, you know things on your own. It's not your parents that have to tell you.
Yeah. And it's as you said right now, all the ideas and the thoughts that I've had is not based on my parents or what they taught me, kind of thing. I kind of had to observe and learn as I grew up, because I have both of those backgrounds where I was born in Ethiopia, even though my family's from Eritrea. When it comes to the idea of how we perceive Ethiopians is... For the Eritreans, it's more so we have to be careful. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to be cautious, because we went at war for many years. And a lot of times, one thing that gets undermined with Ethiopians, but not Eritreans, is people usually forget in Ethiopia how much this costed us to be independent in Eritrea and how much people that we lost. Mm-hmm. It's to the extent where that each household actually lost someone, like a person. Mm-hmm.
Do you feel that being in a different place like the U.S. or like the Bay Area even can provide for like healing in a certain way? Like, you guys, all of you are friends. Ethiopian has Eritrean friends. The Eritrean has Ethiopian friends. You know your history very well. Mm-hmm. So do you feel that something about we're all migrants, or like we're all migrants from a similar area back home? Mm-hmm. What is it that brings you together?
Of course, the similarity brings us together, not just the immigrant factor, but also the food that we eat. There's a lot of similarities in that. One of the main textures of our food is there's something called injera, and that's one of the main dishes in both Eritrean and Ethiopia.
I think the audience will know.
Yeah, so there is some similar languages as far as like Tigrinya. It's kind of spoken in both, even though it's a different dialect in Ethiopia than mm-hmm. Eritrea. And a lot of times only Eritreans can notice that difference, and not all Ethiopians can notice that difference.
Are there common tribes?
There's similar tribes. So, mm-hmm. so the northern part of Ethiopia, the Tigray region, and also the Tigrinya of Eritrea are kind of similar. There's differences, but there are similar languages and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit more about that parents' generation that's just like struggling with this idea? Like, are you guys having to like have conversations with your parents? And what are those like?
For Ethiopia specifically, I'd say it's difficult for them. You know, it's difficult to let go of everything that brought them here. You know, all this war that they had with their neighbors and things like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I would say when it comes to that, I feel like, yes, it is very difficult to have that conversation just because it brings back a lot of memories of friends that have passed away and whatnot.
Do you see your relationships
becoming better?
Changing in any way because of what happened?
I feel like more and more Ethiopians and Eritreans are growing up to be more open-minded to learning more history and understanding history, and not just celebrating things based on pride. You know, a lot of times you see on both sides, it's just we celebrate names of different rulers and leaders, forgetting what has been done to our people at the same time. But now it's seeing the progression of people in the right direction gives me hope that there's something better coming in the future. So, yeah, it's going to be better.